you all for coming this evening and welcome you all here. All those that are tuning in on live stream, it's always good to have brothers and sisters gathered together. Our brother I know has prepared himself. He's got all sorts of notes and pages up here, so I know that he's ready. And so now I'll give you our brother. Ask that you pray for him, that he may be able to give the message and give him the strength and courage to deliver it. I'll give you our brother Jose Galvan.
I'd like to thank you all for being here, and I'd like to thank God for the opportunity that I have today to come to you to bring His word forward. I'd like to read us some words from the song box before I start. Brother Mark just requests a song. I feel that it gives me the strength that I needed today. I don't know when or how, but the more that I stand up here, the more that the Spirit of the Lord works on me. And I can feel the confidence in myself, and I can feel the confidence to speak. Even that sometimes I do cut my words. My wife has told me so many times that I need to pronounce the whole word, but I do cut my words, and if I do, it's not that I'm doing it on purpose. I'd like to read on Psalm 376, the last verse, the brother Mark just requests. It says, I need Jesus, I need him to the end, and no one like him. He is the sinner's friend. I need Jesus. No other friend will do. So constant, kind, strong, and true. And yes, I need Jesus. I need him every day. I need him in the sunshine. I need him when the storms, clouds. Every day along my way, I need Jesus. And how true is that is that we need him along our way in this world, along our life. Every day that we are able to wake up, there's no one else to trust in but him. And how do we do that, you know? I can say, we need to learn. We need to learn to follow him, because that's how we please him. And that is something that we need to work, that I need to work myself, because we live in the same world that is surrounding us with so many things that can lead us in temptation, that can lead us into the wrong path. You know, I work for a place where I need to provide all kinds of information, all kinds of things that please my guests. And I will do whatever I can to please them, to make it right, so they can enjoy their stay in their hotel. And I believe that that's what we need to do to our Lord. To please him, to glorify him by coming to him even with the little concern in our lives. My wife this morning was wanted to be baptized. not baptized. She has been baptized. But she wanted to be a minister. And it took her a while to understand that even that little concern that she had, it was not near to come to him. And she confessed to me that sometimes we don't come to him because we think in our humanness, we think that it's not worthy when somebody else has bigger problems than we do. But the Spirit touched her, and she eventually make the decision that she does need to come to Him. And we all have the opportunity. Let's not put it on hold, you know. We have to act quick when we have the opportunity to come to Him, because that is how we please Him. That is how we come to Him, and He is right there waiting for you to make that decision. And we should know that for better, because we are His followers. And that is how we need to please Him. We have learned His word all these years. And there's no other way that we can come to Him in discomfort. You don't want Him to be unhappy with you. Our brother Aaron read the chapter on 37 in Ezekiel this morning about the dry bones. You know, in the beginning, God walked with Israel. People saw Him day and night. He fed them with the bread. I forgot what it's called, but with the manna. Yes, thank you. And they still did not believe. They still murmur. You don't want to be a dry bone these days. We need to keep in mind those things that we have learned from Him, that we learn every day, those words that we hear every Sunday that we come here. Because it's not so much what whoever is up here speaking. You know, we always go into problems in our lives. And maybe today, this morning, you heard the answer of that question that you had. Or you heard a comfort word that will comfort you according to your need. Because we know that even before you ask, God knows what you need. God knows your needs. Yesterday, we went to, me and my brother Gary went to the desert. We went to riding bikes, which I don't have the opportunity that much to do that. And he texted me and he asked me if I wanted to go. I'm like, no, I need to study because I'm preaching tomorrow evening. And he's like, it's okay. You got to refresh your mind. You will clear up your mind as you're going. I'm like, did that was a temptation or that was something that I really needed? And perhaps I did, maybe. Because you know, when you're trying to get prepared to get ready for your sermon, all these thoughts come to your mind and they flood your mind. And as I'm writing down, other one pops up. And I'm like, should I use this one or should I use this other one? And maybe thanks to my brother, my mind got a little clear up. I don't know how this is going to end. And I don't know which way I'm going to go. But I know that God has a message prepared for you and I tonight. We're going to read in Romans 12. Chapter 12, verse 1. It says, I beseech you, dear brother, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Like I said, we live in a place that there's so many things that can lead us in the wrong path, but that please God. It says that we need to come to Him to present ourselves clean, with pure thoughts, because we need to be careful of what we see and what we hear. It is like some kind of corruption that we deal with every day. And meeting at His house every Sunday, it helps us to clear or to clean our mind and our heart of those things that we see every day. There's some things that the soul is strong that they can scarf your brain, and it's not easy to get rid of them. You think about those things over and over, and you know that they're not good. Then that's the things. Those are the things that don't please Him. Because, you know, everything we say, even if you are joking with your friends at work, everything that comes out of your mouth, it stays recorded and will be judged at the last day. We will have a list. I am assuming we will have a list of those things that we have said and that we have done. We have to be prepared for that day, because we're gonna have to face our Lord. Everything that comes out of your mouth is recorded. You know, it says that it's not so much what's going into your mouth, but what comes out, because it comes from your heart. And you can hurt, really, you can hurt somebody. You can hurt somebody. We need to stand fast and endure to the end. That is our goal. That is our goal. That we stand fast in what we know and into those promises that the Lord has made to us. That is what pleased Him. He doesn't need us to sacrifice anything, any more animals, any more of those things that He doesn't care anymore. Because even, like I said, from the beginning, He did all this, and He was walking with Israel, and even that they didn't understand. When Moses went up to the mountain, Aaron started building a cow. Did that please God? It did not. He told Moses, go down there, because those people are not pleasing me for what they're doing. Even that I've been with them, they don't see it. They don't see it. They don't see the love that I have for them. They're still doing their own things. They're still making their own choices. Jose is going to do what Jose is going to do, not what I want him to do. Jonah, did he please God? No, he didn't. God called him to do His work. God called him to go to Nineveh, to warn them that they're going to be destroyed if they don't stop what they're doing. But even Jonah ran away from God. He ran away thinking that he would not find Him. He went into the deepest areas, dark areas, but God knows where he was. We can run away. We can run away. And God has called us to do His work. And not just me, but everyone. Everyone who has been baptized, who has made that decision, who has made that commandment to follow Him. We have a duty. We have work to do. We have work to do. And that is our sacrifice to Him. That we need to please Him. When He has called us, we need to do the best we can. As I'm standing up here, I'm doing the best I can. I'm doing the best I can to please Him. And I'm doing the best I can to make myself understanding to you. He doesn't want no more fattiness of animals. Those sacrifices are not worth it to Him. Let's go to Isaiah 1, chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 11. To what purpose is the multitude of you sacrificing to me, says the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings, the rams, and the fat of fat beasts, and I delight not in the blood of the bulk of the bullocks of our lamb or of the goats. He is tired of that. We cannot do that anymore. We cannot present those things to Him because He doesn't care. Whether He cares, He wants a purified heart from you and me. And that is why I might say it once again, but God sent His only Son to suffer for you and me. As I'm sitting in that chair, I'm sweating. And I told my wife, I'm sweating. It doesn't show. But my hands they feel wet. Because I know soon I have to stand in front of you. I can't imagine how our Lord and Savior feel. How did He feel when the time was coming and He knew it? And just, there's no way back. He was so extremely suffering that He sweat blood. I cannot imagine that. How concerned He was, how worried, how, I don't know what the word to use for that. But He did it for you and I. And He knew that it was coming. And He knew there was no other way. In Isaiah 53, it says that He paid for our sins. That was a prophecy. So He knew. He knew that. Let's go to 1 Peter 2:24. 1 Peter 2:24. Chapter 2, verse 24, it says, who His own self bare our sins and His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, shall live in righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For ye were as a sheep going astray, but are now returned into the shepherd and bishop of your souls. He was hit 39 stripes. lashes or whatever you want to call it. And scientific, they say that there's 39 diseases after infirmities. I don't know if that is true. But he paid for every single one of those for you. It says that he paid for our sins. He bare everything that we may not suffer. So why he would want sacrifices that are not worthy to him? You know, in those days, people would pass the sins to the animals. They kill the animal and they spread all this blood everywhere. But what did they do? They turn around and they go back and do the same things that they like to do. We come to church every Sunday and we sit in that bench. We go back into the world on Monday. Are we going to do the same thing? Are we going to go back to those things that please us, or are we going to do the things that please God? It's just a reminder. It's just a reminder. When Christ was teaching in the temple, that the only way you can be saved is to eat his flesh and his blood. But they did not understand what that means. You know, that's almost like a cannibalism. This guy, who we know who he is, he's the son of Mary and Joseph, and why we will eat his blood his flesh and drink his blood. Well, what kind of teaching is this? So they quit. They quit. They went their own way. This teaching is too hard. I cannot understand what this guy is saying. And what did Christ say? Did I offend you? Did I offend you? You can go if you want. You can go. So it's just a reminder about those things, about the responsibility that we have, that we've been called for, that we have work to do. Bring the gospel. A lot of our brothers are back from their trips. They've been in far, far lands. And I thank the Lord that he brought them back safely. And I'm sure they are back rejoicing, because many people, they were lost, they've been found. They've been found. Or a lot of others, they don't know about Christ, and they're thirsty for that truth. They are able to bring it to them, to the higher place that maybe no one knew they will exist. Because they're going into the jungle, into places they, you will never know, people will never know they are there, but they're right there. That is our work. And that is why Christ has chosen us to bring his word forward. So don't get offended. Don't get offended to what you heard. But instead, rejoice. Rejoice. Because you are a children of God. We are his children. And he promised that he will never leave us alone. In Hebrews 10, chapter 10 in Hebrews, we're going to continue on here, verse 4, in chapter 10 in Hebrews, verse 4. It says, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and the goats shall take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he say, He said the sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body that hast thou prepared me. And burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin the house had no pleasure. Then say I, Lord, I come. In the volume of the books it is written of me to do the will of God. And that's what he was trying to teach in those days, but there was no understanding. The Book of Mormon clarifies it, that he needs a contrite heart and a clear spirit. You know, when those sacrifices were made in those days, they were not even known for the 100% they were accepted to him. They weren't. So it has to be an infinite sacrifice. And that was that Christ had to die for you and me. But like he told that the woman in the Samaritan. He told her, I am the Messiah that is speaking to you. And he put her to the test and asked her a question, and she answered with the truth. And that is what he wants. He wants us to be truthful to him. So let's not be a valley of dry bones. Let's continue on in those promises that we have learned from him. In 3 Nephi, chapter 4, Third Nephi, chapter 4, verse 47 to 52. We're going to read. And as many as I have received me, and as many as have received me, to them have I given to become the sons of God. And even so, will I to as many as shall believe in my name. For behold, by my redemption cometh, and in me is the law of Moses fulfilled. I am the light and the life of the world, and I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And you shall offer happen to me no more shedding of blood. Yea, your sacrifice and your burnt offerings shall be done away, for I will accept none of your sacrifices and your burnt offerings. And you shall offer for a sacrifice unto me a broken heart and contrite spirit, and whose coming unto me with a broken heart and contrite spirit, him will I baptize with fire and with the Holy Ghost, even as the Lamanites, because of their faith in me at that time, their conversion were baptized with fire and with the Holy Ghost, and they knew it not. Behold, I have come into the world to bring redemption into the world, to save the world from sin. Therefore, whose repentance coming into me is a little child, him will I receive, for as such is the kingdom of God. That is a reminder right there. We need to be like a little child. They ask Jesus, how can we be saved? You need to be like a little child. We are his children. We walk with him. We talk with him. And he's right next to you. Behold, for such I have laid down my life, and I have taken up again. Therefore, repent and come unto me, ye ends of the earth, and be saved. How clear can that be? It can get better than that. It's pretty clear to me. And that is how we please him. We need to be like a little child, not like we know everything. We need to give the credit to him. Let's not trust in the arm of flesh, in the arm of man. Everything we have done is not because we did it. It's not because my understanding. I did it. I heard it from so many, especially from my family. But that's because they don't know him. They did it, not God. Everything we do in an everyday life is because God has helped us. Everything we do. Let's give him the honor and the glory, and that is how he will be pleased of you. And you will receive more blessings. You will receive more blessings. And you see them. And we have seen them. In Mosiah. Mosiah chapter 1. I'm just barely getting used to my new glasses. So as soon as I turn 47, kind of see my knees myself. Mosiah 1:46. We're going to read verse 46 to 49. 46 to 49. And even I myself, this is King Benjamin talking to the people, I have labored with my own hands, and I might serve you, that I might serve you, and that you should not be laden with taxes, and that there should nothing come upon you which was grievous to be borne. And all of these things which I have spoken, ye yourselves are witness this day. Yet, my brethren, I have not done these things that I might boast. Neither do I tell these things that thereby I might accuse you. But I tell you these things that ye may know that I can answer a clear conscience before God this day. Behold, I say unto you, that because I say unto you that I have spent my days in your service, I do not desire to boast. For I have only been in the service of God. And behold, I tell you these things that ye may learn wisdom, that ye may learn that when ye are in the service of your fellow beings, you are in the service of your God. You know, the King Mosiah, the King Benjamin, I'm sorry, he's telling his people, serve to each other, serve to God, please God, and don't do it for your own, to lift you up. Be humble. Be humble. You know, we come to the understanding that sometimes, like I said, you know that what we have in this life is not ours. It's just temporary. We can't put much borrowing in it. It's not ours. Everything we own is His. Everything we own is His. So why not? Why not do things for others that are in need? Because when you do that, you're serving that person and you're serving God at the same time. And He is pleased. He is pleased for that. In Colossians 3:23, it says, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." There is. I'm not trying to please anybody, but we please God. God is and always being, even from the beginning. It says that He never changed. He's always the same. Let's go back to 3 Nephi chapter 11. We're going to read verse 11 and 12. And many of them saw and heard unspeakable things which are not lawful to be written. And they thought, and their minister one to another, and they had all things in common among them, every man dealing justly one with another. And it came to pass that they do all things even as Jesus had commanded them. And they which were baptized in the name of Jesus were called to the church of Christ. So Christ told us, do the things that I have shown you. That's how you will please. Because He was doing the things that God showed Him. And that is how He glorified His Father. So we need to do those things that please Christ. Because He was a simple to us from the beginning. He showed us the things that we need to do. He showed us the way. He is the way. When the disciples asked Him, show us the way, and that's it. He said, I am the way. Show us God. Well, how long you been with me, and you still don't know Him? I am Him. And He's in me. We are in Christ. And He is in us. We don't longer live in our own, but Christ lives in ourselves. So we please Him. He is with us. In John 13:15 says that He has been an example. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Give me the best. Give me the best of your youth. He wants you. He's patiently waiting for you every day. You know, our body is like a house. I invite one of my brothers to come to church, and I always do. I always send him a text. And there's always something going on in their lives. I sent him a text today again. And he's like, well, I have a really dirty house, and I need to clean it up. I didn't say anything, but I was thinking to myself, yes, you do. You do need to clean up your house. There's a scripture in the Revelations that Christ is knocking on your door. You know, to all the women, or, well, I don't want to get myself in trouble, but what is the room of your house you keep clean all the time? Yeah. The living room. So when people walk by and you have your window open and your blinds open and they get to see the inside of the house, the living room, I'm like, oh, wow, that house is clean. They have God, but they haven't seen the back. They haven't seen the laundry room. The master. See, our body is the same. From outside, you only see this. But he wants to see your heart. Then that's what we don't see. But there's another scripture that talks about by your fruits, you'll be known. And that's how people know who you are. I'm going to read that scripture that I mentioned in Revelations. Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and I will sup with him and he with me. You know, you can almost see Christ outside standing with a mop and a broom, getting ready to come into you and clean your house, clean your heart. That we may be clean and holy as he is. But even, you know, when we go through the week, and sometimes we have a hard week for whatever reason, work at your workplace, or maybe you there got sick, maybe there can be so many things that can happen. But with joy we come today to hear his word. And that's like having charged our batteries, that we may continue on into the time that comes that we meet him. So we need to stand fast and strong in our faith. That is my message for you guys tonight. And I hope and pray that this message was a blessing for you today. Thank you.